Good morning to you. I'll get wired up here. Why don't you stand? Open your Bible to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 10. We're going to read six verses. I'll read the first, you read the second, and so on. If you have a King James Bible, well, you read with us. If not, we'll just sort of follow along. All right, verse 10 of chapter 2 of Philippians. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good
pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings,
that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke.
Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Let's pray. Father, we've opened your word, and we ask you by your Holy Spirit to touch every heart and life that's here. If there are any here that are lost, that you touch them to be saved. Every one of us that are your children, that you draw us closer to yourself and improve our lives. Make us a blessing. Lord, move upon us. Change our minds about a lot of things. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The Bible has been around for a long time, and it was the first book really printed. Literally changed the world. Think of all the books we have, how cheaply we can get them printed, and all the things that are out there that today that they didn't have. They didn't have years ago. Just didn't have. And it's a wonderful book, and it's changed my life. I think some of you, it's changed your lives too. What is the purpose of the Bible? I would say the biggest purpose of the Bible is to let you know God. Now, maybe a whole lot of people aren't interested in finding out what God's like.
Amen. Amen.
Maybe a little bit too much work. Maybe they're not sure about it. But I want to talk to you just a little bit about God and how he works in our lives. And that verse, verse 13, it is God, it's what it says, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. You know what the problem is? We're working with our wills all the time.
Amen.
Anybody here got a real strong will? You
amen.
Control your will?
Yes, amen.
I think most of us are a bunch of wimps.
Yeah.
We really are. Just look at us at dieting. Look at us at giving up some habit, some other thing that we have that we blow it.
Amen.
I've fasted many times in my 59 years of being a Christian, and I've had a piece of stale bread break a fast.
Yeah.
That's right. Piece of stale bread. I'm walking through the kitchen, and here's this piece of old toast, and you eat it. And then you feel like an idiot. You say, man, I don't have any more strength than that. It wasn't even anything good. It wasn't worth eating. It wasn't like it was candy or a milkshake or something like that, you know. What do we do with our wills? Well, I'll tell you what. God wants you to have a will. He wants you to will some things. He wants to will in you. fact, that's what it says right there. God, which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. I think we need to understand, first of all, that it's from the inside. It's from the inner heart. God's not changing us necessarily from the outside. Not from necessarily laws or commandments or practices or something like that on the outside. How God is working in the lives of the church and in Christians is in our minds. In our minds. What happened to you when you got saved? Were you really spiritual? You were really seeking out God? You were really studying the Bible? I doubt it. God brought you under conviction. You repented of your sins. You were afraid of hell, or you were afraid of judgment, or afraid of something else. You repented of your sins, and you called on God and asked him for help, and he came in.
Yes, amen, Lord.
Now, he didn't change your outward looks, but he did change the way you think. Now, I would say that if you haven't had a change in your mind, you're not saved. That's where God works. It's not a matter of where you go or what you do or maybe the kind of clothes that you wear or other things like that. It's a matter of the inner man. And the inner man is where God comes in to stay in our lives. I myself, I repented of my sins. I was scared of hell.
Amen.
Had this friend die, same age I was. And I never thought much about death. It never bothered me very much in my life. I wasn't worried about it. And I realized 20-year-olds could die. And I got to thinking, where would I go if I died? Well, I wasn't such a very good fella. And I knew that what I was doing was wrong. I was raised up in a Christian home. I was raised up with a Bible in my house. I was taken to Sunday school when I was younger. And until I got to the place that I didn't want to go. And so I knew some things. I knew some certain things were wrong. I believed there was a God. I still do. I believe there's a God. I don't say how anybody can look at this world and not believe in God. It doesn't make sense to me. There's got to be a super brain and a super power out there. This didn't happen by accident. It just didn't happen by accident. I'm sorry, I couldn't believe that when I was lost. I believed in God. And I believed the Bible. I believed the Bible was the Word of God. Now what happened to me was that on a certain day, 1st of September 1957, I was in the Air Force in Roswell, New Mexico. I got saved. I called on the Lord, and the Lord heard my prayer, and he changed my mind.
Amen.
I mean, one day, I'm going a different direction. Did it happen to you?
Yeah.
Did you come to the Lord, he changed your mind?
Amen.
He get inside your heart and say you don't want to do certain things anymore?
Amen.
You quit smoking, drinking, gambling, cussing, and a few other things like that, and boy, oh boy, life changed. Why did it change? From the inside. What happened? When I called upon the Lord to get saved, he entered me. That's what it says right here. He says, for it's God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Now, why would we want to find out about God? I think there's a real good reason. Because God's everything. If you don't like God, tough luck. There's not anything you can do about it. If God were a bad God, as some of the world believes, and they offer things to these bad gods that they believe in, if God were a bad God, what could you do about it? He's God. He has all power, all wisdom. You don't have any, you can resist him if you want to, but it's like an ant resisting you. It's like a gnat. You may be a little bit of a bother, but just one little sweat, you're gone. God got inside of you and he began to change you. And God wants to do you good. Now, you have to come to make a choice. From experience, you can't make this choice. So I might say God's good. Look at all the good things God got for me. And I was born an American. I'm healthy and I had all these things. Blessings. And you'd say, well, I was born in America too, but had all these bad things happen to me, all this sickness and all this death, and I didn't have a loving home, and I don't know anything like that. Well, see, from experience, you might say God's bad, or you might say God's good. Back in Genesis 18:25, Abraham is talking to God, and he makes a statement that is my statement of faith. He said, shall not the God or judge of all the earth do right? Now just think about it a minute. That's a statement of faith. You can't prove it. Somebody here suffers a great deal of pain or a sickness or something and dies. This fellow over here is rich and happy and blessed and whatever. How do you see? How's God different there? You know. We come to the place that we have to make up a rhyme. What is God like? Well, now the Bible tells us God is good.
Amen.
Abraham was saying it, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now I've come to the place, that's my opinion. That's what I preach. That's what I believe. I've come to the place that even when I don't understand things, I still believe God's right. Now, I don't know whether some of you are there or not. I know that some places in my life, some experiences in my life, there were some problems in my thinking. And how could this be? And it's like Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now, sometimes I can't see that what has happened to me or mine is good. And it may not be good, it may be bad. But you take a look at somebody like the life of Joseph and you see all of these things happen to him, but you see the purpose work out as it comes out throughout his life. He had 13 years of bad and I'm sure he had a hard time understanding that. Well, maybe you've had a few years bad, but let me tell you something. God's good. Amen. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to learn Him. What is the greatest thing you can do in life? Well, you might think be in love, make a lot of money, be successful, be happy, whatever. Probably the best thing you could ever do would be to know God. Amen. To know how God thinks about things. That's what this whole Bible is about, learning God. And you know what you need? You need to know how God thinks. And that's why He enters into your heart and He starts working on you. And the reason why, as you're reading this Bible, you know, some of you don't read your Bible very much.
Amen.
And that's not a help to you.
Right.
That's not a help to you. I quit smoking cigarettes and I switched my New Testament for my pack of Camels. And every time I wanted to smoke, I took out that New Testament and said, Lord, I'm having a nicotine fit. Help me out. And I'd read and pray. Read my New Testament through 20 times the first year. That's how much I was wanting to smoke, you know. But anyway, but that was a tremendous advantage. Because I began to learn some things about God. Are you interested in what God's like? Would you like to know what He likes? Would you like to know what He doesn't like?
Amen.
Well, that's exactly the reason why the Bible come our way. These stories let us know the character of God, the mind of God, and we come to the fulfillment of it in Jesus Christ walking on the face of the earth. There you have God in the flesh. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Godhead. The fullness of the Godhead bodily is the Lord Jesus Christ. The more you know the way He thinks, the better you're going to understand life. And the better you're going to understand and believe in God. Take his word here. You know what he says here? He said, he's in you and he's working. I wonder what he was working on this week. To will? You got a problem with something bothering you about what you ought to do about it? To will and to do. Of his good pleasure. Now think about that for a minute. If God is working to get your mind around something, do you think you got everything right and you don't have to change anything? You probably aren't. Really? Honestly? How much time do you even spend thinking about it? Amen. We spend enough time in front of television and listening to the radio and you guys with your earphones running around with stuff, listening all the time. You got stuff coming into you. We're a wonderful entertainment society. That doesn't give you any time to think, hardly, does it?
Amen.
Because you got all your thoughts coming in to you like this and you don't really know what God might want. To will and to do of his good pleasure. I want you to think for a minute now. As it said right here, he's in you working both to will and to do his good pleasure. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6. Now he's speaking, I'm not going to do all of them, just the one verse there. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Are you one of those guys that just works when the boss is around or when the foreman's around? Are you one of those guys that drives slower when you pass a policeman? Well, we all are that way to a certain extent. The will of God from the heart. What does God want out of you? In a practical way, in your life, as you meet with people all day long and they see your testimony, what kind of a Christian are you? How about doing the will of God from the heart? Have you thought about that? That's a pretty good thought. I like what Paul had to say there in Ephesians 6:6. Doing the will of God on these last 10 rules I put up for myself, or 2 rules I put up for myself, or something I have out there, or something my church wants me to do. How about doing the will of God from the heart? Coming up out of you. God wants to change your heart and change your mind. God wants to make you different, different than the world, different than maybe most people think. And that's the reason why he enters our life. He comes into us because he wants to bring us around to his way of thinking. His way of doing. Look at a very famous verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Notice what it says. Be not conformed to this world. And we understand that God expects us, once we get saved, to be different. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Now, how are we going to be transformed? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is God working on? Your mind. Sometimes he works on me in the middle of the night. He ever work on you in the middle of the night? He does me.
Amen.
I get to thinking. And I can't sleep because I'm thinking. And I'm thinking so serious that I'm wondering what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it and why this is happening to me. God's working on your mind. It's coming out of your heart. What happened to you when you took Christ as your Savior and the Holy Spirit entered within you, God moved in and God is trying to transform you and change you by renewing your mind. I've had my mind changed on a lot of things with this Bible. I came to the place to believe it was the Word of God. And I make that without apology. This is where I get my doctrine. This is where I get my thinking. This is where I get my goals. This is where I get my joy. Well, if you don't know it, it can't bless you. If you don't read it, you never will understand it.
Amen.
And if you don't have these ideas come up into your mind, it never will change you. What is God trying to do? From the inside, He wants to change your thinking. And when He changes your thinking, He's going to change your walking. And when He changes your walking, people are going to see a difference in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, now, how does that translate into your walk? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. This is the will of God. Isn't that pretty clear? You worried about you can't understand this Bible? Boy, that's a bunch of one-syllable words, isn't it? For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. You know, we have a lot of fornication around today. And the different styles and dresses, the movies, the rock stars, the sports stars. And we have all sorts of them. They're living in sin.
Right. Amen.
You're just shacking up. You're living in sin.
That's right.
It's not just another lifestyle. It's called fornication.
Amen.
And what did he say? This is what? The will of God. Your sanctification. You say, well, I'm not a saint. If you're saved, you're a saint.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
If you're saved, you're a saint.
Amen.
I've told a few Catholics that. You say, I'm a saint. And I am.
Amen.
I'm a saint.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We used to be on the TV here for a while, and I was teaching school, and little boy came up to me in the office one day and he said, are you a priest? And I said, yes, I am. I'm a priest of the living God.
Amen.
And the secretary, who was a real devout Catholic, she about swallowed her tongue. But it's the truth.
Yeah.
The Bible says we're kings and we're priests. What does a priest do? He goes to God for the people. What does a prophet do? He goes to the people for God. Don't you do those two things?
Yes.
If you're a born-again child of God and you're doing any witnessing or preaching or teaching a Sunday school class, you're doing both those things. You're praying for those kids. You're going to God and you're praying. You're acting like a priest. You're taking their prayer request and you're saying, God, help them out with this. They've got a sick mother or a father. They've lost their job. They don't have things going their way. And you're praying to God Almighty, well, then you're acting like a priest. But let me tell you about sainthood. It's not like what Catholics believe it's like. Let me tell you what. You have been sanctified, and that makes you a saint.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
When Jesus Christ took your sins and gave you His righteousness,
amen,
you're as holy as you can get.
Amen.
You're not going to get any holier than what you have in Christ Jesus. So he said here, this is the will of God, your sanctification. Now, I think he's talking about a practical manner of walking. I think he's talking about a testimony of a life. I think what God wants you to do is to be changed to the place that you could give a testimony and somebody would believe you.
Amen.
You could actually go and tell somebody, God changed my life, and they'd believe you. Now, sometimes we make testimonies like that and they don't believe us. Why? Because of what comes out of our mouth and because of the places that we go and some of the things that we do and how we lose our temper and how we fight and fuss and so on and so forth. God wants sanctification, and he said that you should abstain from fornication. You know, you think that all of this living together and sleeping together and just sexual freedom is something new. It's been around as long as men and women have been around. Well, here he is in Thessalonians, and he's talking about abstaining from fornication. A lot of these temples, prostitution was the norm. It was the way they worshiped. They had fornication of the grossest sorts. It's just one of those things that's been around with us and is going to be around with us. Did you know that sex is everywhere? Plants and trees. You have male trees, female trees. Bugs. They're male and female bugs. Horses and cattle? Well, people? Yes. So sometimes God has to make a change in your life, and you need to make a change in your life to bring a testimony to God. You don't need to be like the rest of the world that's around you. You don't have to do what the rest of the world does. And I don't care what Hollywood does. I don't even care what First Church someplace does. You ought to abstain from fornication.
Amen.
Now, we've got enough. I would say probably the most attractive thing in the world is a beautiful woman. It attracts men. It attracts women. You know something? We live in a place where it's all show. And we've got all this entertainment. And we've got all of this beauty, and to the poorest of us, we can afford the TV. I don't care how poor you are. You go down to these little poor places, and some of them, they don't make enough money hardly, but they got a good television. They got a bigger one than you got. That's their entertainment, day and night. And on it over and over again, in movies, over and over again, out of Hollywood, over and over again, this idea, marriage doesn't matter anymore. They're even changing the laws to make the marriage is not between a man and a woman. Any two people can get married. Ridiculous.
Amen.
We're living in a time when fornication is rampant. And the trouble is, most of us Christians aren't taking a good enough stand against it in the way we dress and way we talk, where we go and what we do.
Amen.
But here's what he said. This is the will of God. Your sanctification, that's the will of God. And what is he talking about that? That ye should abstain from fornication. Look, as you will, at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. All right? We need to walk different than the world walks sexually.
Amen.
We need to walk different than the world walks with our speech and our attitude, the things that we do. Notice what this verse says. This is the will of God. Hey, that's a theme, isn't it? Is that hard to understand? Oh, the Bible's too hard to understand. We can't understand the Bible. Don't read the Bible. You can't understand it. What is this? This is the will of God. For so is the will of God. With well-doing, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Well-doing. He not only wants you to not do bad, he wants you to do good. How do you live down the slander of the world?
Yeah.
You can't fight them with your mouth. Some of this political stuff this last year, it's just been so stupid to me. It looks to me like you got two kids in a middle school that are arguing and trying to insult each other. You know, that's not the answer. What is the answer? Well-doing. You just go along and do what you're supposed to do. Help somebody out. Have a different kind of attitude. Let God move in your heart to where you have a different attitude and you don't worry about the slander of the world.
Amen.
You ought to abstain from fornication. You need to be sanctified. And then you ought to, with well-doing, shut people's mouths.
Amen.
People are fussing at you. People are slandering you. People are excluding you from their fellowship. Well, just keep right on going and doing what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
That's the answer for that. And then one more. Look, if you will, at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You ought to mark this one in your Bible.
Amen.
We ought to preach on praise more than we do.
Amen.
In everything, give thanks.
Amen.
Back in Numbers 11, verse 1, said the people complained and it displeased the Lord. God doesn't like a bunch of complainers. He doesn't like it. Some of us are such crybabies, such wimps, we can't take anything. God Almighty wants you to grow up, mature, handle things of life. You don't need to be complaining all the time. What ought you be doing? Giving thanks? There's not a day goes by you couldn't give thanks for something. I'm telling you, I can give thanks. I got saved. You say, well, you're dying of cancer. Well, I got saved. Praise God. I'm thankful, Lord, I got saved. I'm thankful I was born in Texas. I'm thankful I was born in America.
Amen.
I'm thankful I was born to two simple, sweet, country Christians. Wow. What a blessing. Count your many blessings. We got a good old song. We ought to sing it more. Count your many blessings. Don't count your curses. Don't count your troubles. Pray about them, yes. Bring them before God. All right. But how about giving God some thanks and blessings for what He's done for you?
Amen.
We don't need to be a bunch of complaining idiots.
Amen.
We need to be a bunch of praising saints.
Thank you, Lord.
We need to be somebody that would say, I am going to the Lord and thank you, Lord, for forgiving my sins.
Amen.
I love old Willie Cosby. Guy stuck a gun in his face and he said, do you know, you are threatening me with heaven.
Amen.
That's the attitude. That's the attitude. Yeah, kill me. If you kill me, I'm going right straight to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm thankful for that. Are you thankful for that? How big is that? How big are the things that you have in your life? Has God blessed you with love? Has God blessed you with fellowship? Has God blessed you with a good mind? Can you understand? Can you think? And can you thank? And can you praise? Well, then bless your heart. You ought to be thankful. And you ought to have something to give God thanks for every single day.
Amen.
Now notice, this is one of those hard verses. All these difficult verses in the Bible to read. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You complaining, murmuring, fussing, not liking the way that things are going for you today, it's a dishonor to God. It's a shame for you.
Amen.
And here's what he's telling you, real simple. In everything, give thanks.
Yes.
What? That's the will of God.
Yes.
God's will is you recognize that he's done so much for you that you ought to walk through life thankful.
Amen.
Amen or oh me.
Amen.
That's right. Bless your heart. Well, Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. I want you to look at this. I want you to know that salvation and the salvation of your soul Your eternal life, your forgiveness of sins is the will of God. It's God's will. It says in verse 4, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God, our Father.
Thank you.
It's God's will to save souls.
Amen.
It's God's will to save your soul.
Amen.
God desires, he calls, he invites, he pleads, that you might let him in. He knocks on the door. I don't know how many times he may have knocked on your door. Some of you are pretty good at turning him down. How foolish is that?
Yes, amen.
How foolish is it to say God needs to wait another day? I'm not ready today. I'm not right today.
Amen, brother.
It won't work today. Yes,
amen.
It will. In fact, today's the only day it ever will work.
Amen.
Nobody gets saved tomorrow. Nobody gets saved tomorrow. When you get saved, it's going to be today.
Amen.
You're going to have to make up your mind, this is the will of God, and this is what I want. If you want the will of God, you'll surrender to him.
Amen.
If you want the will of God, you'll invite him in. If you want the will of God, you'll repent of your sins and take Christ as your Savior. Do you want the will of God?
Amen. Yes.
I mean, I have read this is the will of God enough times this morning. One syllable words, people. Not too hard to understand. Who gave himself, Christ died in my place.
Amen.
My only hope of heaven is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I don't have any righteousness.
Amen.
I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher or I'm good or I'm better or what. No, 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 no. I'm riding on the coattails of Jesus. I'm riding on the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm riding on his righteousness. He took my sins and gave me his righteousness.
Thank you, Lord.
How good can you get?
Yes, amen. Thank you.
Gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God. It's God's will for you to get saved. Then look, if you will, at Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. If you ever have a problem believing that salvation is simply by faith and by grace, without any works, here's your verse. Knowing, what do we know? That a man is not justified by the works of the law. Well, now there's an awful lot of people this morning preaching that you're justified by your works. There's a lot of different religions out there. There's a lot of people think that way. But look what it says. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Notice this last sentence. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. How clear can it be? I don't know how you'd ever confuse that. There might be some things you can confuse in the Bible, but how in the world can you confuse a statement like that and work it around to your being good enough? Nobody's good enough.
Amen.
Nobody's good enough. I'm not good enough. You're not good enough. Amen. Your grandmother wasn't good enough.
Amen.
Everybody's a sinner.
Amen.
Everybody needs a Savior.
Yes.
Who are you to go up to God? How are you going to present yourself before God? You won't even get in to see the Texas governor. You might have a problem with the mayor of San Antonio. How are you going to get in to see God? You need Jesus Christ to come before you in God. Your only entrance is on his name. Your only entrance is on his blood. Your only entrance is on his righteousness, not yours. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. Has God been long-suffering with you?
Amen.
Has he been pleading with you for years and years, or maybe months and months, and you've been telling him no, and you've been resisting, you've been saying, wait. Long-suffering to usward. Now here's his will again. Not willing that any should perish.
Thank you, Lord.
Hey, that includes you.
Yes, sir.
You're here today, you say, well, God doesn't interest in me. Oh, yes, he is. Says right, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Thank you, Lord.
What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it today? I don't know what God's working on in your life. Maybe you need to get saved today. You may be.
Amen.
Maybe you come through these doors and you've never even listened to the gospel, or you haven't paid any attention to it. Christ died in your place. God loves you. One thing you can learn from the scriptures, if you'll read the scriptures, is God loves you. I don't know why.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't understand. I have a hard time loving people, and some people have a hard time loving me. But God loves you. We have a prayer meeting out here every week here on Wednesday nights. And it just amazes me still that God would listen to our prayers. How many times have your kids wanted to say something to you? You didn't want to listen to them. It was the same thing over and over again. But God listens to your prayers. Wow. That's fascinating. I tell you what, there is salvation, there is forgiveness of sins, there is a change of life, there is happiness and hope and joy, there is blessing beyond blessing in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You can have it.
Amen.
You don't have to walk out today without it.
Amen.
These are promises, and they show it is the will of God. The will of God is what the Bible says. This is the will of God. I don't know how many times I read it to you. 9, 10, 11, 12. It's God's will that you seek his face. It's God's will that you repent of your sins. It's God's will you make a change. It's God's will you do his will. He's working in you, willing to do of his good pleasure. Salvation is actually very simple. Maybe that's what makes it hard to understand. I'm not sure. If you'll repent of your sins, believe in Jesus Christ, call on him and ask him to save your soul, forgive your sins, he'll do it. Flat out, he'll do it. He doesn't lay so many days, so many weeks, so many months, so many years on you. He doesn't lay a financial benefit that you have to give. No work that you can do to get to that place. It's a free gift. And by the way, if it's not a free gift, none of us have it. Nobody has it if it's not a free gift. God wants to give you eternal life.
Amen.
You need to believe it. You need to call upon him and get it. May God help you do it. Stand and sing number 235. Sing it through.